O Lord our God, we do remember when our Lord Jesus came to this world, there was no room for him. People did not receive him. People did not know him. And Lord, we are going to open up your word. We pray that you may come and open our hearts to receive your word. We worship you, for you are the God of light. In the beginning you created light, you said, let there be light, and there was light. So Lord, give us light, give us the spirit of illumination, that we may see wonderful things out of your word. And give us not only light, but delight in your word, that we may rejoice in your truth, that we may find your word to be sweeter than honey to our mouth, and rejoice before you all the time. Bless us, O God. In Jesus' name do we pray. Amen. Well, let's turn back to 3 John. Let me read to you verses 1 to 3 again. The elder to the beloved Gaius, whom I love in truth. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. For I rejoiced greatly when brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you, just as you walk in the truth. Well, the world had just finished the celebration of Chinese New Year. I was in Hong Kong doing part of the Chinese New Year celebration. And every morning I heard people giving each other the Chinese New Year greetings. Gong Hei Fa Choi. Oh, by the way, that is utterly unworthy of Christian. It means I wish you to have a lot of money. I remember as a child, my mother conditioned us before Chinese New Year. Don't say Gong Hei Fa Choi. That's unworthy of Christian. That's not what we are aiming to have. Just say Gong Hei. Wishing you happy. Or happiness. But then increasingly, I notice folks, especially older folks, after sending the typical Chinese New Year greetings, they would say, but health above all. Money doesn't matter. Jobs doesn't matter. What is important is health. And it's especially the older folks, I say, who are saying that. Isn't that human nature? When we enjoy good health, we don't think much of health. But when our health is under threat, we say, well, whatever thing we may or may not have on earth is health above all. Or is it? As I heard so many times people saying, well, it is health above all. That's the most important thing. It sent my mind spinning. I was still standing. But my mind spinned to 3 John, to this lovely letter, to his greetings in verse 2. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. 3 John is a lovely short letter. By the way, friends, can I encourage you? Most of the letters in the New Testament are short. 3 John is very short. I love to read short books in the Bible that give me satisfaction that I've read one out of 66 books in the Bible. But many of the letters in the New Testament are very short. Most of them you can read within 15 to 17 minutes. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, James, and so on. Read them. If you found reading them difficult, get an audio Bible. It's free after all. Listen to the Word of God. These lovely letters from the Apostle of Love, the Apostle John, and he sent this letter to a dear Christian friend, Gaius. It's a gentle and tender letter, and yet we discover there are problems here too, even within the church. Even when the Apostle John was still alive, there was a man called Diotrephes who did not receive the Apostle John. We will say to him, "How dare you, Diotrephes? You didn't receive the Apostle John?" No, he didn't. And he stopped people in his church to receive John's associate and kick out those people who received John's co-workers. Imagine that. Church discipline. You kick out the apostle and his associate. And you excommunicate those who receive this troubling evangelist preaching the gospel. But that is the church in a fallen world. But this morning, we're focusing on verse 2. There's no chapter division, it's only got one chapter. And it goes like this, in such a lovely way. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. Were you surprised in hearing such a greetings in the Bible? Were you thinking, well, perhaps this is not quite worthy of the Word of God? Seemingly so much concern about the things in this world and about health? Friends, I want to remind you this morning, God loves everybody. Yes, God loves each individual body. Yes, God loves your physical body. After all, He gave us our bodies. After all, He made us to have bodies. And the Lord God Almighty has given each one of us a most wonderful body. The psalmist says, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. I remember the first time I came across this letter. This word, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. It was in a letter or saying by a dear Christian sister in our Christian fellowship. Not my wife, another girl. Not to me, but I guess to us as a whole. And it struck me. Yes, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Don't you think so? Have you thought about that? The Lord God has given us our physical bodies for beauty. Friends, have you thought about that our human body is so beautiful? The human body is among the most beautiful things in the whole universe. How well formed and well shaped is the human body. It's so well balanced. It's so beautiful to behold. You look at a newborn babe. It's so beautiful. You feel the supple skin of that dear child. You watch this child grow up, learning to walk, learning to speak, It's so lovely. The human body is so beautiful. Think of the symmetry of the human body. And older folks still remember that movie character, E.T.? I never watched that movie, but you remember how E.T. looked like? Huh? Beautiful? You want to meet with one of these guys in your night walk? No! You see, Hollywood cannot make a creature more beautiful than human beings. Interesting, isn't it? And even when artists depict angels, they have to draw angels like human beings with two wings. But where do you think of that? Human beings with two wings are not too beautiful. And we are made for dignity. Think of the way we walk, the way we talk, the way we behave. We are made for dignity. There's a tremendous human dignity. We are made for glory. We are made to reflect the glory of God. And friends, the human body is made for pleasure. Is it not so? The Lord God has given us the sense of taste. And we can taste good food. We can spend so much time preparing food and use so much money to enjoy food because we have a sense of taste. Can you imagine you have no sense of taste? Just think you've got a bad flu. Everything you eat tastes nothing. Think of the sense of sight. We can see things, and we enjoy seeing things. And the pleasure of hearing and listening. In college, I got a teacher whose parents, both of them, were profoundly deaf. They couldn't hear. And this lecturer shared with us that deaf people often have temperamental problems because they can't speak. They can't listen. We are made for pleasure. The joy of listening to music. To some of you, the joy of learning another language. And we are made for creativity. You know, friends, our whole human body is made for creativity. Just think of our 10 fingers. You know, every one of us, if we work hard enough, we can play the piano. Don't believe me? Try. Isn't it amazing that people can play piano? All these notes. So many of them, and yet their fingers can keep moving. Why? Oh, you say they are smart. They may be. They're musical. They may be. But you know, fundamentally, because they are given 10 such fingers, and the Lord God has equipped us to be able to even play the piano. And then when you think of that, how the Lord God loved the human body. That His own Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, as Hebrews chapter 10, quoting from Psalm 40, should come to this world by taking to Himself a human body. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 5. Therefore, when He came into the world, He said, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for Me. Ponder on that fact. The eternal Son of God became flesh. And took to Himself a human body. a body of flesh and bones. The Lord God must love the human body, that his own Son should become permanently united to human flesh. And then we are told by the same writer in the same chapter, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 10, by that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. We who believe in Christ, we have been set apart, we have been cleansed, we have been washed by the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ. Yes, the God-man, the Son of God, offered up his body, united to his divinity, for us and for our sins. So that through Christ's body, in that same chapter in Hebrews, we have access to God. How much value does the Lord God place on the human body? We live in a time of the dehumanization of humanity. The unbelieving world culture now is undermining the dignity and uniqueness of humanity. It trashes us. But how differently did our Lord Jesus Christ treat the human body? Remember? Most of the miracles our Lord Jesus performed was to heal the human body. He made the lame walk, the deaf hear, the dumb speak. He opens the eyes of the blind. He casts out demons, make people sober again. And you remember the shortest Bible verse in the whole of the Bible? How does it go? How does it go? Jesus wept. Right? What a text. At the tomb of Nazareth, his friend, when he was about to raise up Nazareth, Jesus wept. Oh, what a volume of theology is there in those two words. How does it speak to us that the Lord God has entered into our humanity and sympathize with our deepest sorrow? Jesus wept at the sight of death. The Lord God has entered completely into our cares and sorrows. No wonder in the long history of Christian mission, we have so many medical missionaries. Do you not know the famous missionary Hudson Taylor, the founder of China Inland Mission? He was, first of all, a medical man. And then, have you heard of leprosy mission? Not much, isn't it? You know, the mission of the leprosy mission is to eradicate leprosy in the world. They've been so successful that we don't hear much of their work now because it is not so much needful. But in some parts of the world, there are still lepers. We move on. When we think of the climax of the gospel, which is what? The bodily resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. We don't want false teachers to be gallows. We want to remember Easter as the bodily resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't want soothsayers to cheat us, saying that, well, Easter is like spring, like the egg giving birth to chicken. No, Easter is about the conquest of death by the Savior of the world. It is about the bodily, physical resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. As Charles Wesley put it, love's redeeming work is done. Fought the fight, the victory won. Death in vain forbid him rise. Christ hath opened paradise. Saw we now where Christ hath led, following our exalted head. Make like him we rise. Ours the cross, the grave, the sky. Don't you like that? Make sure that it's true of you. Following our exalted head. Make like him, make like Christ we shall rise. Ours the cross. We are crucified with Christ. The grave. We've been buried with him in baptism. And the skies. The blessed hope of the Christian is what? The glorious resurrection of the body. And the bodily return of our Lord Jesus Christ. In this life, in this body, we are subject to the power of death. The most beautiful person will become not so beautiful sometime later. I notice in Time magazine, oftentimes they have an obituary. And they would put a picture of such and such a pop singer or movie star who died at age of whatever. It's always the picture of that person in her 30s, 20s, or 40s. And they look stunningly beautiful. The media, years ago, graciously spared us of a photo of the dead body of Princess Diana. We remember her in her beautiful face. In her lovely body. But friends, you know, this body can get mad. You realize that? We can get mad with our body. This body can lose its memory. This body can get wrinkles all over its face. This body can be ravaged by illnesses. This body can suffer so much pain. This body will one day be corrupt. But friends, if we are in Christ, just as Christ conquered death and rose again in that glorious resurrection body, and in that body he went back to heaven, so shall we rise with dignified, glorified, beautiful, strong bodies which will not get mad, which will not sin, which will not get sick, which will not die. And in a glorified body, we shall see the beautiful face of Jesus, reflecting his glory. This is the Christian hope. What do you think? I love to see those crosses on tombstones, especially older ones. Nowadays, they don't put crosses on tombstones. I don't know why. In a sense, I know the whole culture is getting more and more anti-Christian. But each one of those crosses reminds us of the death and resurrection of Christ. It's a message of hope, isn't it? When you see a tombstone with a cross, it's pointing to Christ. It's far better than the Chinese custom. You know, when I was in Hong Kong, a dear brother, his father died, and father was not Christian. They got about 9 or 10 siblings, and they were arguing what sort of funeral service they should have. Eventually, they settled down to have nothing. Part of the family want Taoist, part of the family want Buddhist, part of the family want Christian. They settled for nothing, except they allow mother to burn some money for father. That's pitiable, isn't it? When unbelievers die, the only hope is that they may have some money. I know this invariably, especially in Hong Kong. But even here, they burn paper money as American currency. Isn't that something? Always American dollars. Not Chinese yen. Sometimes credit card as well, that comes in handy. So, my dear friend, it comes as no surprise that the Lord God Almighty, the God of love and mercy, He loves our body. He cares for our body. His Son died to give us resurrection body. What are we going to say? Amen! Don't you say that? Hallelujah. But we press on. You notice in our text, 3 John verse 2. Oh, it says, our beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and enjoy good health, just as your soul is getting on well. Oh, friends, we don't just have bodies. We have souls. And let me say this, the soul, the health of the soul is even more important. But we have to be more accurate and careful. We need to say, human being is body and soul. The Bible does not teach us that human being is a composite being. That we can look at our sticker on our skin, well, this body or this person is made up of 50% flesh, 50% soul. No, we are not a composite being. We are not 90% flesh and 10% soul. What are we? We are a body-soul unity. To use a technical term, which means the same, we are psychosomatic unity. Psycho-soul. Soma, somatic, body. We are a body-soul unity. Turn to your Bible, please. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. Here we have the account of how human being was made. Genesis chapter 2 verse 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. This is not fairy tale. Nothing fanciful here. It's a sober account of how human being was made. You notice carefully. God formed a clay model out of the dust of the earth. But it was a clay model. Until God breathed into this clay model his own breath. Then that model became a living being. Before the breath of God, it was only a clay model. After the breath of God, it became a living being. It's this holy breath, this divine breathing, which makes us human. So here we are. We are not made up of a soul and a body united together as such. We are a body soul. And the Lord God wants to save our body soul, the whole person. Now that is the robust biblical Hebrew understanding of human nature. That stands in strong contrast to the Greek tradition or Greek, ancient Greek philosophy. You know the ancient Greek philosophy departmentalized human beings into body and soul. And in ancient Greek philosophy, it emphasizes so much on the human soul. The important thing is this. You must have a noble soul. The body is not so important. So what happened was this. In ancient Greece, a person can be grossly immoral. But that's okay. It has only to do with your body. You have a noble soul. You have noble aspiration. Your soul is noble. Your body may be committing all this filth and dirt and so on. Your body may be behaving like animals, but your soul is noble. That's okay, they said. Now, we are so different. The prevailing thinking is that of a materialistic culture. We are conditioned to think that human beings are just flesh. We are nothing but flesh, nothing but a body. And therefore, whatever your body wants to do, do it. Satisfy the gratification of the flesh and the body. The end result? The same. Widespread gross immorality. It's ironic, isn't it? The ancient Greek philosophy was valuing the soul far above the body. Now we are valuing the body far above the soul. But the end result is the same. The blatant breaking of the seventh commandment. It tells us the human heart. That man just loves and has this burning desire to break the seventh commandment. We have to break that commandment. Let us give it a philosophical base. Our soul is important. The Lord God wants to save us completely. That's why the Christian hope is not pie in the sky. Every fairy, insubstantial, is the resurrection of the body. The heart of the gospel is the resurrection of Christ. We move on. Thirdly, to the secret of a healthy soul. How can we have a healthy soul? Now let's turn back to 3 John. I know there are some very smart people here. Some very quick thinkers. I want to ask you this question. As you heard First John this morning, as you have heard read it beforehand, there are some very important New Testament words which are missing in this letter. What are they? You expect two or three of the most important words in the New Testament to be here, but they are not here, and it's unique. It's only in this book, one out of 27 in the New Testament, that we don't have any of these words, not even mentioned once. What are those words? We have the smartest person here. George was spot on. The Lord Jesus Christ is not mentioned here. Not one mentioning of the word Lord or Jesus or Christ. Interesting, isn't it? Thanks, George. He was thinking. He's still thinking, isn't it? Wonderful. God's blessing. Now, why? Is the Apostle John denying Jesus? No. Not at all. No, no, no. You understand, John got a poetic mind. And as he gets older, he becomes more and more poetic and spiritual. He does not mention Jesus by name, but he called Jesus what? The truth. The truth. The secret of a healthy soul is that we should walk in truth. Verse 4. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. You want your soul to prosper? Walk in the truth. Live in the truth. But how can I live and behave in the truth? Answer. We must have the truth in us. Verse 3. John says, for I rejoiced greatly when brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you, just as you walk in the truth. Oh friends, you and I can never live a holy life and be obedient and walk in the truth unless we have the truth in us. You know? That's why the commandments of the Bible in the New Testament so often are so burdensome to so many professing Christians. They find the Word of God to be burdensome and boring and troublesome. Why? Because they don't have Christ in them. You and I must have Christ in us before we can walk in the truth. We must have Jesus in us, living in us. And how can we have Christ in us? How can we have the truth in us? We must first of all know the truth. Remember what our Lord Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. The Lord Jesus Christ is the truth. He is the Logos, the eternal Word of God, the logic in the universe. Everything coheres in Him. God manifests Himself in His Word, in Christ. He is the wisdom of God, the wisdom from God. He is the truth, the good, and the beautiful. Christ our Lord is the ultimate truth, the supreme good, the perfect beauty. Jesus Christ our Lord is the perfect human being. It's God in human flesh. Let me end by quoting to you that beautiful song. Fairest Lord Jesus, ruler of all nature, O thou of God and man the Son, thee would I cherish, thee would I honor, thou my soul's glory, joy, and crown. Have you found Jesus to be dearest and fairest? Have you seen something of the beauty of Christ? Is it dear and near to you? Do you believe that He lived for you and died for you? Do you know the truth in you? If so, walk in the truth, and your soul shall prosper, and in good health shall prosper. O Lord, our God, we give you praise and thanks, for we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Oh, you love us so much to give us this wonderful body. And you love us so much to redeem this body of flesh. Oh, that we may believe in Jesus, that we may walk by faith and in obedience, so that one day, in a renewed, resurrected body, we shall see Jesus as He is, and gaze upon His glory and beauty, and so find to be our joy and delight to all eternity in our flesh. And to the glory of your name, for Jesus' sake.